You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, second hour of the show. Welcome, everyone. Here's what you missed by not subscribing to my podcast and video, an extra third hour that Bruce Sidlinger and I did on the program earlier this week. Yeah, I mean, so Governor Hobbs put in this declaration of a heat emergency, and one of the things in there, because it got hot in Phoenix in July, who would have thunk, and now it's cooling down, one of the things that she put in there was she had to do this to allow people to recover. It's 2 weeks later. Have you recovered, Bruce, from the heat?
One way I defend the advice I give, because I always give unsolicited advice that nobody wants and nobody pays attention to.
I'll say,
hey, I can give you advice about cars objectively because I have every brand, and I have five electric cars and also a bunch of internal combustion cars and also gasoline cars and also diesel cars and even a Hummer. So clearly I'm not partisan about cars. I can tell you about Fords. I can tell you about Chevys. I can tell you about Toyotas. Well, I have a house in Flagstaff and I have a house in Scottsdale, also a house in Lake Havasu. So I'm about to say something that I can give weight to because I have the Flagstaff option, which is I like the weather right now in Scottsdale. I was there for every day of August.
Did you maybe get too much sun and it impacted your brain?
Well, here's the thing. The way heat works is it's hot for a couple of days and then you're fine with it.
Yeah, you do get used to it. I can tell you that.
And I've been outside.
I've worked outside all summer in Camp Verde where it did break, 105, 106, 104 regularly, which is very hot for me, I thought, but I got used to it. I would work outside until about noon. And then I'd be like, okay, it's 99, it's 100. I think I'm done. Go have some lunch and cool down. People do this every day. They're on roofs at 110. What I don't like about what Hobbs is doing and the climate alarmists.
Well, she's creating a giant victim class with millions of additional victims.
You're right. It is hot out. And I don't have trees on my block, so it's not tree equity. Go dig up Bruce's trees in Scottsdale and move it over there.
Right. When you mentioned tree equity, you were talking about maybe planting trees, but I was thinking we could just poison all the rich people's trees and get tree equity that way.
No. You dig them up.
Maul them up.
You go force the construction workers and the heavy equipment operators to dig them up and try to ball up the roots and bring them to the disadvantage. So you have a tree, Bruce. You should be ashamed of yourself because obviously, had it been equitable, you would have thought different about this heat wave that's never hit Phoenix before. Right. It's never been hot in Phoenix. I mean, there's a reason why there's nothing growing there except cactus and what it was.
Well, now you've got me feeling guilty. I felt good about myself until this, and now I feel guilty.
Yeah, that you didn't feel bad.
I do have a beautiful.
You have a pool.
I only have one tree actually. I have a Palo Verde,
and then you have a nice big pool. That may have helped.
I do have a pool.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I love Mexicans and Mexico and everything other than cartels and stuff. I love everything about Mexico, just like most Texans do. Like,
you love Mexicans and Mexico. I don't know where you're going with this. But
no, I love Mexicans. I'm just like super pro. I took Spanish. I wasn't any good at it, but I took Spanish off the school. Yeah. Like Mexico just seems like part of Texas when you grow up in South Texas, right?
Okay.
And one of the things that you can do, there's wisdom that Mexicans have about heat, which is you take a couple of hours off.
A siesta.
Yeah, too.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of siesta.
It's intolerable. You know, the difference between 115 and 100 is not being out from 2 to 4 or whatever that heat.
Yeah, that peak heat time.
Whatever that peak heat time is.
And they know when it is. You don't need the government to tell you every 3 seconds, don't go outside between this time and that time, and drink lots of water, Bruce.
Yeah, and so the thing is you acclimate, and also you're not an idiot. I can't say idiot. Oh, it's a podcast. I can say idiot. You're not an idiot about being in direct sun.
You can say idiot anytime.
And it is insensitive, though, to the idiots.
I think at this point we've got to call out the idiots.
Okay.
Because there's so many.
Anyway, you stay out of the sun. You don't work for the hottest 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you don't overwork the first few days of exposure. You don't overwork. Mm. And you hydrate like crazy.
Yeah.
And remember, and I can definitely People would say, well, Bruce, it's not like you're a worker, right? But
yeah, were you even outside?
But I'm a special kind of worker because I'm a flight instructor in Maricopa. And when you're a flight instructor in a glider, those have bubble canopies.
Oh,
and when you close the canopy,
it's 180.
When you close the canopy, it goes to like 160 in 30 seconds.
Yeah, until you get up
much
there.
Hotter than a car.
Yeah.
And so I have experienced the hottest of the hot in working conditions. And I used to work the whole day straight through giving tourist rides.
People know how to handle the heat. You move to Arizona, you better know how to. I mean, half the state isn't like that, obviously. That's the misconception half the country has. Right. Darth Vader ran through Death Valley in California recently in the mask. You hear about that guy who's like 180 degrees. People can handle it. Look. This is stupid. That's all I can say. Hobbs' declaration of a heat emergency creates these new commissions and committees so they can be prepared to come in front of the cameras and the microphones next time it gets hot next year. And it probably won't even be as hot next year because this stuff runs in cycles.
So here's what I don't like. I don't like one size fits all. If things are being handled correctly, and I think they are because I think this is already the law, we should not be turning off old people's air conditioners if they can't pay the electric bill.
Yeah, they can't. They can't do that. Already in there. Yeah.
We should have cooling centers for homeless people. I don't want them to die.
I've seen those open up.
Right.
We can have misters. In a gym.
You know, instead of, a mister is such a simple thing. Why don't we just have misters along the sides of government buildings? It costs almost nothing to do a mister. Why not just have an area where,
like the Nancy Pelosi building
on the north side where it's shadier?
Yeah.
Why not just say, look, any government building on the north side is going to have a mister. So if you can't get into a cooling center, you've got a mister.
Okay, that's fine, but be prepared for that's where Tent City is.
That's why I said government buildings.
But it's not just going to happen when it's 110. It's going to happen when it's 82 as well.
That's why I said government buildings.
Okay.
Because the government...
Well, kind of like the Nancy Pelosi building, which has turned into a crack den probably about now.
Because the government wants this, right? The government should see the results of its own policies.
Yeah, they should. Well, just to reference back, Bruce talked about the Nancy Pelosi federal building in San Francisco. They've told the workers not to show up because it's so dangerous because of all the people that are...
Because there are open-air drug markets now.
Open-air
drug users and armed drug dealers displaying firearms during the day on the steps of the federal building.
So this building that they probably spent many tens of millions of dollars building, they probably spent $1 million on the naming rights for Nancy Pelosi.
You shouldn't...
Alone.
And also, buildings shouldn't now be named... If you're still not... If you're even alive, a building shouldn't be named after you.
Exactly.
And especially if you're still running for election, like you should have to sign a pledge that says, so that this isn't taxpayer funded advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a binding pledge to not run for reelection.
If you name this building, I hate? Go fly out of Phoenix Sky Harbor.
Yeah.
For years. You got to hear from the illustrious Phoenix City Council members. Hello, my name is Council Member Welcome to blah, blah, blah. I'm Council Member. Who is it? Mayor Gallego. Mayor Gallego is very happy that you're here. Mayor Gallego wishes that don't forget to drink a lot of water. It's political advertising at Sky Harbor Airport. I can't stand these people.
I've got a couple of examples of this. In Texas, when you pay your property taxes, you write it to the name personally
of the assessor collector as if it's
so
their money.
You write it to clear about it. They in big letters it says write this to Joseph Uresti, and he was the tax assessor collector in Bexar County, and I knew that name my whole life because I wrote checks every year to Joseph Uresti, not to the county, to that guy. I don't even know how that's possible.
Did he send you a personal Christmas card to thank you? Thank you for sending me your money.
Other examples. Remember, I went to Chicago. Remember, I got where there were the gunshots outside my truck.
Yeah,
I went to Chicago for the International Machining Manufacturing Technology Show, and that was late last year. And you know how the politicians also put their name on the plaques of buildings?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the one thing I noticed, which I thought was kind of cool, is there was a big old plaque in this building, and it was Blagojevich.
Oh, the disgraced former mayor, correct?
Yes.
Mayor? No.
I think he was a mayor.
Congressman? Mayor?
I don't know whoever he was.
I remember him, yeah.
And incidentally, his
egos on these people,
But he did such a tiny thing compared to what other people have done.
Yeah.
I always felt like he was way overpunished.
heat emergency is stupid in Phoenix. I see there's extreme heat warnings on my phone and that all the news media has put out there, right, for today. I think it was 105, 106. What was it when you left?
I don't know, but if I was mayor, I would have a path to survival for every person in Phoenix. Well, I would say you can. The police will give you a ride to a mister. I don't want people. We're a civilized society. I don't want people dying on the sidewalk.
I agree. And
just like we don't let people die outside of a hospital.
I agree. But for the super vast majority, right, the super duper,
I don't need to be in that protected class.
5% of you out there, you're in Phoenix, you deal with the heat, it is what it is. And unless the power all, and they'll scare you with this, unless the power all goes out throughout the whole place, and even then you'll survive. They make a bigger deal out of everything that is necessary.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point that the green energy will kill people inevitably because green energy doesn't handle peaks very well.
Well, in that case, Phoenix would no longer, 5.5 million people in Maricopa County now? There's no way that this area is supportive of 5.5 million people without modern appliances, modern technology. I mean, you wouldn't have that population. You couldn't even get the water there.
Right.
You wouldn't, because how much of that water has to be pumped?
So the government is luring people into these concentrations of people, and you have to keep them alive.
Yeah, unless they're going to build a bubble. It's going to be like one of the science fiction movies. It's going to be a bubble. Well, engineers,
if it becomes necessary,
domes.
Like I always say, if it gets bad enough, you'll finally call the engineers.
Superdome.
We'll fix it.
Superdome will be up there. I wouldn't want to live in that, but. Right. You'd probably move at that point.
I would just have nuclear power everywhere. That's my answer.
Yeah, backyards. Anyway, okay, so you survived. You made it up in your electric car.
And I wish I could opt out of being in this protected class. I don't want to be a victim. She's made me a victim.
I know.
I don't want to be a victim.
I just want these politicians to leave us alone. That's all I want. So you made it up in your electric car. You heard me talking about this guy with the F-150 Lightning, this Canadian who decided to go back east U.S. somewhere. I think he went to Chicago.
I post all the time. For years, I've been saying, if you are forced into an electric car or if you're tricked into an electric car,
you're gonna be miserable.
Your head's going to explode. Yeah. It's completely crazy. It'd just be like randomly picking a subset of the population and saying, guess what? You're now going to hunt.
Yeah.
If you're not a hunter, you're not a hunter. Well, if you're not an electric car hobbyist, you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Because that pickup if electric cars involve a lot of things, paying a lot more, having a car that's ultimately disposable, having limited range. But to really understand it, they work based on you lowering your expectations. And all you have to do to understand what you're getting is to just ask any engineer, how many gallons of gas does the kilowatt hour size of my battery?
The equivalence.
Right.
Kind of, okay.
And that F-150 has about 3 gallons of gas in it. Okay. So would you buy an F-150 with a 3 gallon tank? Because that's what you're going to get. Now, to be fair, internal combustion engines waste a lot of the energy to heat.
Sure. It's
and so
like
let's say 6 gallons, but it's got no more than 6 gallons equivalent of gas. So the rest of it, you're going to give up, you know, just like windmills and solar are going to kill people because there will be brownouts. There'll be blackouts, rolling blackouts.
If we keep going down this path.
Every time there's rolling blackout, you know, when you're a politician and there's a rolling blackout, you know statistically that a couple of little old ladies are going to die because that's what happens. Well, with electric cars, you know statistically that people are going to die because you've had to make them lighter, less crashworthy.
Well, this guy bought this vehicle. He claims he spent over... By the time he had to upgrade the electric in his house and this and that, he's well into the six figures, right? And then he decides
it's going to be $117,000 plus about $6,000 for a sub panel at each of my houses, $6,000 for a sub panel, and plus there's a very fancy Ford Charger. If you wanted to be able to do the trick of lighting up your house, that's like another $4,000.
Okay.
So I was allowing about $15,000 per residence to support it, plus $117,000 for the truck.
So well into six figures.
Yeah.
And then he wound up renting a gas car because he couldn't find the charging stations. This is the problem.
He wasn't a hobbyist. He didn't have all the apps.
I've driven in your Tesla. I think it's an awesome vehicle.
They're amazing, aren't they?
But I think these are something that you're specifically looking for. Like
they're for hobbyists.
Or you're a commuter and it's well within your range because you can drive to work and then drive home without a charge or plug it in for slow trickle charging or whatever.
Except for urban, you're supposed to be on a bus.
I know, but that's where
on
these
a
things
rail or on a bike.
That's where these things are really designed for is urban settings, which isn't that good enough for the rabid enviro nuts because, and I'm nothing against an electric car, but if you wanted to, if you're so concerned about the emissions from a gasoline engine or diesel, but let's just stick with gasoline engines. Well, the pollution to me, the real pollution problem is localized. I think they,
well, especially in traffic, when you are in an internal combustion car stopped in traffic, you're
look at the brown cloud in Phoenix when you drive many times of the year.
Right.
Pollution's gotten better with the catalytic converter and all that. But I think that we do have serious pollution problems locally, localized pollution problems. I think that people have bought into this global climate change stuff, and we're going to fix the whole climate, the worldwide climate, when we can't even fix the local stuff. If you really wanted to impact a city, let's say some of the Western cities, or let's say Beijing or something, let's just look at all the big cities that are really smog-ridden, right? Well, then, okay, maybe electric cars make sense because you're not creating pollution in that local area. You don't have a tailpipe right there. But don't be mistaken. There's a tailpipe somewhere because there's electricity being created somewhere, but it's probably...
Although it's a chicken and egg thing. Someday the energy will be created in a non-polluting way. Someday.
Hopefully we'll go back
to nuclear.
Yeah, nuclear still has a big stigma, though.
Once you are freezing in the winter and burning up in the summer, all at once nuclear won't seem so bad.
When there's a crisis, it's then people
once
be
it
like,
gets to your house.
We need a nuclear plant here. And nuclear's become much more acceptable. Unless there's, Bruce, here's the big caveat, nuclear. If there's another incident somewhere,
then it sets it back for 10 years. Incidentally, if there is an incident, it's the fault. I've always said the biggest climate criminal, unintentional, is Jane Fonda. Because Jane Fonda was so beautiful and such a great actress, and she did that China Syndrome movie, and that ended nuclear power. That movie ended nuclear power.
Well, and then Three Mile Island happened.
Yeah,
right
but Three
then.
Mile Island was pretty uneventful.
But she did the movie, and then it was like the weekend that's coming. I don't know if it's that close.
That's right.
It was very close. It was like Three Mile Island hit.
Best promo ever.
And everybody's, this is kind of like Jaws comes out, and then you go to the beach and get eaten by a shark.
Isn't that amazing? If you think about
or vice versa,
if Jane Fonda had sucked as an actress and that movie hadn't grossed very much, we would have nuclear power everywhere. And my point with regard to your point about what if there's an incident, we stopped nuclear power plant design at the Model T stage. We've lost 50 years of development
because of that.
They would be completely safe by now.
No, I agree on that. But look, here's the thing: electric cars can be a great thing. I think with the government pushing electric vehicles like they are and mandating and whatever they're doing, forcing manufacturers to switch and consumers, I think they actually risk a massive leap forward progress that we could make because the stories of the dude who buys the F-150 feels like he got ripped off and can't even get to Chicago.
Right.
That's going to – nobody's going to buy these things.
I want to say one other thing. I had electric cars in the 90s. I had GM EV1s, two of those. Mm-hmm. And I've had electric – vehicles all my life, and I'm an aerospace engineer, so I have to do, I'm an avionics designer specifically, so I'm really into autopilots. So, back in the 90s, I was saying the answer, because we were doing a lot of light rail bond elections and stuff.
Yes.
And I said, for this kind of money, we could have government-owned tiny little electric pods, almost the size of an enclosed Lazy Boy, like a double Lazy Boy
the
recliner.
Jetsons, like the Jetsons.
Okay. Little pods, but they would still roll.
They go in a suitcase?
No, not that long. But a little bitty car, like imagine a smart car, but it's electric and it would have an autopilot. And because the thing about what I said is if they were shared such that they were always in service, they're essentially never parking. They're shared and they're automatically dispatched.
Okay.
That wouldn't cost any more than the light rail project, and there's no crime, and there's comfort, and there's quality of life. That makes things better. Remember, an electric F-150 is going to suck. You're going to have to accept a diminution of lifestyle versus a gas F-150. Well, if you come out of any kind of private vehicle into a subway or a bus, that's a diminution of lifestyle. I hate it that Americans are shooting for less. We need to shoot for more.
This is the Jeff Orvin Show.
Gold has been a safe haven asset throughout history. Jeff Horvitz here. In fact, gold has returned 18% over the last 3 years and 54% over the last five, which easily trumps government bonds and high-yield savings accounts. I protect my retirement by investing a portion of my assets in gold and silver, and I rely on Justin at Desert Gold Exchange for expert advice on the best way to invest and to always get the lowest commissions guaranteed. Desert Gold Exchange, based right here in Arizona, deals exclusively in physical gold and silver, not a piece of paper. As a family-owned firm, Desert Gold Exchange keeps overhead low so they can pass those savings on to you. Call to get your questions answered or to request your free investor's kit with no pressure and no obligation. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, our family serving yours. This portion of the show is brought to you exclusively by Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Let's talk the state of real estate with Kelly Broaddus. This one's an important one for you, especially if you're thinking about selling your home. The do's and don'ts when it comes to how you present your home for sale. Some very interesting stories coming up here with Kelly Broaddus. All right, welcome back. And Kelly Broaddus is with us here from Broaddus Properties Group. Kelly, how you doing?
Doing great.
Mark Howitt's here sitting in as well. We're going to talk some real estate issues, give you a real estate update. But I wanted to hit on something different this time. I wanted to hit on when you're selling your house, presenting your house, when you walk into a house, what it looks like. I think this is a lot of good advice for people out there. So we'll get to all that. And if you got a comment at any time, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And last time you were on, we talked about the median prices, things like that, and houses moving. Before we got going here, Mark was asking about, hey, what is there a buildup in inventory out there? Is because you hear the stories of, oh, things are things cooling down, or and you said a couple weeks ago, there's still not. Things are slower than they were like a year ago, 2 years ago, but there's still not that inventory.
Right. We're still struggling with inventory.
Still that case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that means the deals still aren't there. If you're,
there's not really any deals.
What was that median price again? It was like seven, something like that, six something.
It's like right upper below six. Seven.
Yeah. Okay. And you were saying you thought in Sedona was like...
Sedona's approaching a million.
Yeah. That's
crazy. It's nuts down there.
Yeah, that is nuts. But, okay, a big thing when you walk into a home, a big thing that people hit on right away and is, I don't like this, or it looks crazy. I mean, you've come across a lot of situations over the years.
Well, even before they walk in, the real presentation is online. Is, you know, when they see the photographs and how it's presented online.
Yeah.
And that's your first.
That's the first thing.
Line of defense or, you know, offense or whatever you want to say.
So good pictures online is critical nowadays. Mm-hmm. I need to do that with my rentals because I just like quick one on the phone real far back.
No.
Is that right? That's not the right
word.
No.
They've proven that those twilight shots sell those houses every time.
What does that mean?
So right at dusk, you know, with all the lights on in the house and the photographer takes pictures.
We call this
the outside.
The golden hour in photography. It's that half hour before sunset and half hour after when
that's
the light
you
is
do photography.
I've done real estate photography.
Okay. I didn't know.
It's powerful.
It is. People really want.
Do you spray the concrete with some water so it looks like it's all like
Some people do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so do you do the photos or do you
No. I have a professional and
Oh, interesting. Okay, so see, I would have never. I just like here, take a couple pictures. Mm-hmm. This is number one, then.
Mm-hmm. So well, is that the yes, that's the so one house that I listed in Coconino Ridge there in Pine Canyon early this week, and we had it professionally staged because it was brand new home. $3.9 million, brand new home.
So when Kelly said staged, you're bringing in furniture. No,
yes.
Really nice furniture.
Yes.
To make it look really good.
Not the entire house, but, you know,
the important parts,
the master, the living areas. And it just looked fantastic.
Yeah, you go down to Walmart, you get a card table.
No.
And a couple of folding chairs.
and then did all those amazing pictures and, you know, got it online, and no joke, 3 hours later, a full price cash offer 50,000 over list.
Over 3.9. What did you say? Listen,
3.9.
Yeah. Cash?
Cash.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's
good. Phoenix agent. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Came up and snagged it.
Yeah. I was going to say California, but they probably were California and
they
came
may
Phoenix.
Have been.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it used to be if there's a home over $1 million not too long ago, that was like, you said last week what the luxury market is. Is that over $1 million or?
975 is the benchmark.
That's considered. That's like
for Flagstaff,
and that's probably getting lower at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean that's a lot of money, and that's
You can spend $900,000 in
quick,
in a common neighborhood, not a luxury neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Is there when you stage something? So you're not only staging it for the people that are coming in to actually view it physically,
mm-hmm.
But it's for the first step, which is that those photos.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a company that provides the furniture and then it goes away later? Does mm-hmm. that stay with the house? Does that, I mean, because that can be, you're buying not the card table at Walmart mm-hmm. or the fold up mm-hmm. chair.
This is beautiful.
This is
stuff.
Really nice stuff. So mm-hmm. is it like somebody actually provides all that mm-hmm. and they bring it in?
They bring it in. It's rented mm-hmm. and it's brand new and it can be purchased.
As part of the contract, you can make mm-hmm. the deal. The company buyer, that stages mm-hmm, it for you
just
says, oh, here's what we sell this chair for. This.
Correct.
Because some people might come in and they're like, I love it.
I want it.
Perfect like it mm-hmm. is. That happened in that movie, Funny Farm. I don't know if you saw that with Chevy Chase. I want it all just like it is. Every mm-hmm. little thing, just keep it. We're going to do it. Okay, so stage it. What else? You've got some stories, Kelly, and you've got some kind of things to share about some experiences in the past. I guess you go with it from there.
Well, I mean, the one I just told you about.
Yeah.
And then I've had some other ones recently, you know, where went in and the house needed a lot of work. It was Water Hall neighborhood, right?
Oh, yeah.
On 8 acres.
Oh, yeah.
And we listed it for 1.6. And within 2 days, it sold for 1.8.
Wow. And that's even with hall water and all that.
Yeah.
But people want it's by acreage.
It's the acreage and it backed
the national forest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
and
nowadays people want that in an era of less and less privacy. You're like, can I have a little buffer? Can I get some property? I want to have maybe animals and this and that. So, have you ever had the absolute like horror story? I mean, mm-hmm. you've been doing this for a long time. Thinking back to, like, don't ever do this ever.
Well, if you're a realtor, don't ever go somewhere by yourself out in the middle of nowhere if you're practicing real estate in Oklahoma. Okay. Don't do it. So,
yeah. Does this involve aliens?
No, but
crop circles,
guns and men with patches on one eye and liquor bottles everywhere and I drive up and
you were by yourself.
Well, my husband went with me.
Oh, okay. So you heeded advice years ago. Okay.
And they had a fenced in pond with alligators in it.
What?
And I'm not even going to tell you what they fed those alligators. I'm not even going to tell
you. The last real estate agent that didn't tell
them. Let's just say they had lots of pregnant dogs.
No,
it was the worst experience of my life.
Did you list it?
No, are you kidding me? I wanted out of there.
You're like, I'm out of here.
Quickly as possible.
I had to ask the question, Kelly.
That was my scariest, awfulest experience.
Yeah, that is interesting. I wonder what was going on.
And it's like, you go down the road, turn right at the first tree, turn left at the stump.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Past the alligator pond.
Oh.
Is that even, I wonder if you can even have, I don't think you can have
alligators. This is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And this was 20 years ago,
That's interesting, yeah. Although I have heard a lot of people moving to that part of the country who really, they sell out of areas like Flagstaff, for example, and they're
My daughter did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you told me that story. And it's like, okay, I sold out for $800,000, $900,000, whatever it is.
Pay cash
and
for
I'm
a
going
farm.
And paying cash for a farm somewhere. That's very attractive in a lot of areas of the country to get your financial freedom, your independence, mm-hmm. really. So I'm sure you get, like you said, your daughter did, but I'm sure you get people that, over mm-hmm. the years that have done that and said, I'm cashing out.
Yep.
I'm good to go. That is an interesting story.
We always joke about that, you know, retire out of Flagstaff and into the Midwest somewhere.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
you can live as a king. You can buy something for cash, put the rest in the bank.
Yep.
Invest it, whatever.
As long as you're okay with the humidity and the bugs and...
Yeah. I know. We did, you know, when we went through Nebraska one time, that's where the dog got ticks and this and that. There was a lot of cool, you know, there's frogs, there was turtles everywhere. It was, you know, lots of stuff out there. Yeah, we're kind of spoiled in the Southwest, in Arizona especially, because even though it's a little more humid this time of year, nothing like, and you grew up in, well, you're in New York and Texas.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's like, we have such a unique situation here, and that's why people are coming up and popping. Whatever you just said, 3 point something million on cash for a home. Okay, so stage it. Get that right. I see the aerial drones.
Yep.
That's a big thing. Is that a separate company, or is it your photographer?
No, the photographer does all of it.
So these people are like drone pilots now.
They are.
It's the day of
they are.
Just snapping a couple shots is just gone.
The drone's incredible. And then they also do that. You go in and do the 360 3D. degree.
Yep.
3D. And I love, like, if I'm going to preview a house.
You can see every nick and cranny and
you can
corner.
Turn the camera anywhere you want. You get to see everything. And it really becomes your first impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. See, I wouldn't... Yeah, I had a real estate license for my family's stuff and the business we do. I would be the worst real estate agent. I'd be one of those horror story because I'd be like, here's your picture
on your phone.
I mean, even on rental properties, people are like, do you have a virtual tour? And I was like, no, but you can just go over there and see it with your own eyes. That's why I would call it. If I ever decide that I used to think 1,000 acres was the way to go. But maybe if I want like 10,000 acres in the middle of nowhere and put the house in the exact geographical middle, and I'm going to say, I'm going to Kelly. I want you to list everything right now. Let's get the deal done. Bring the drones. Bring the staging crew. We're rocking. I'm going in. I'd just buy a helicopter, too. They'd go in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. Okay, but you still see positive things going forward on real estate. I saw an article. Let me spring this one on you, Kelly. We'll talk with Kelly Broaddus. There's some articles like, is it just a good time? Should just be renting now. I see articles like that quite a bit because the interest rates and people are having trouble coming up with the down payment and things like that. I know you're dealing with a lot of high end stuff, but you also deal with
everything
out there. That's a tough one to answer because you might be not living somewhere. If you're living 6 months, maybe in one place,
but
if you're planning on putting down roots. I mean, but
you know how rates are cyclical.
Yeah, they are. They are.
And then what happens when rates go down again? Tell me what you think is going to happen when the rates take another dip.
People are going to refinance.
People are going to start buying.
Or people are going to start buying.
And prices are going to go up again. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah. And we just came off of, and we don't give you any financial advice or anything like that because we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
But historically speaking, when you see this time period of rising interest rates for an extended period, and they rose up more than they ever have in like a year period. I mean, people were, 3% on a mortgage or less, and now they're 7+ on a mortgage. When you see that happen for an extended period of time, it's not too long after that all of a sudden something happens with the economy.
Yeah. An election,
We talked about this last time. Presidential election, all of a sudden, mysteriously, these interest rates start coming down. So that inventory might be sopped up even more.
Could be. But there's lenders, if you shop, there's lenders that will refinance you at a very low fee. So it makes sense to get your house and then find someone that, you know, when you get your loan that will refinance you for practically nothing. And then you have your lower rate and you have your house.
That was my first priority when Angela and I got married way back in the last century, 1998, was to buy a house.
Yeah.
We scraped together every penny. And we're like, this has to be a priority in our life. Yeah. And I know you bought young too, Mark.
You're going to buy a house no matter what. You're either going to buy it for your landlord or you're going to buy it for yourself. You're going to buy a house.
Yeah.
Right? It's just who you're buying it for.
Yeah. And if you're staying put, you're putting down roots because that's where the car broke down. Isn't that song? Then it's been the best. It's been the biggest blessing in my life. Well, not the biggest, but one of the biggest is
property, as far as
property,
things, right?
And it's something that they're just, they're not making more. They're not making more. All right, Kelly, Don't listen to me. Don't go to Walmart and buy your staging stuff. Kelly's, you've got a bunch of people that, that work on all this stuff all the time to get these things moved for the highest price out there.
I don't skimp.
No, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, you almost blew a gasket when I said, go get the folding table. No, you do a top notch job. And that's an amazing story with that 3.9. $1 billion one. When we get
in
off
hours.
Here, I need you to show me some pictures of that thing because it sounds absolutely amazing. Maybe I'll throw one up if that's all right. All right, Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Kelly, I always appreciate the updates. We'll get you back in here in just a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to The State of Real Estate with Kelly Broaddus. Check out my podcast by going to talkwithjeff.com and remember to look up Jeff Horvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, on your favorite podcast provider. Also on YouTube, subscribe, share, and comment. We appreciate all of you doing that. And remember, all information here, we do not give financial advice, real estate advice, or any kind of advice like that. This is for informational purposes only. Do your own research and use your noggin. This portion of the show has been brought to you exclusively by Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Mitchell and Barry Jones with Concerned Citizens of the Verde Valley. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
We're doing good. Very good.
Yeah, so this thing keeps going down there. I remember we talked about this a couple months back. You had this transgender all ages drag show, which just seems like those words shouldn't really go together, that happened on a city property in Cottonwood that was, I guess, sanctioned by the mayor. Maybe fill us in real quick on that, the history there.
Well, what happened with the way this came about was the mayor was shown to be in favor of it by his refusal to respond to overwhelming public interest in having the matter agendized for the council meeting. And his current vote of last Tuesday evening against an ordinance, a city ordinance draft that would have prohibited any adult entertainment style or sexual themed events for minor youth and children.
Okay. So those under 18 shouldn't be able to go to these things. You were trying to craft an ordinance. The drag show happened a couple months back. They went and did this show on, and it was a city property. And now you guys have been trying to push for an ordinance to prohibit that going forward for those under 18, not a prohibition on for adults on this stuff, but on minors. And they didn't agenda. What does that mean? What is it? 7 members on the Cottonwood Council. You needed to get 4 to agree for this.
Actually, no. According to our own ordinances here, it only requires 2 council members to get it agendized, and that happened shortly after, or rather, they appealed to the mayor shortly after we started protesting. And he has, through subterfuge and all kinds of deceitful ways, he's kept it off the agenda and won't allow us to have an open discussion, including the fact that since this started 7 months ago, when we became aware, we have never experienced in this town the number or the sizable numbers of people that have shown up objecting to it. Okay. I mean, it's been unprecedented.
So the way your rules are written is two members can bring something forward and agree to it, and it should be agendized, which means it gets on a future agenda for actual discussion and possible action. You're saying you had, what'd you have, 2 or 3?
Well, we had 2 initially, okay, because there was 1 seat empty.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you had the required amount, according to what you're saying, as far as the rules are. I haven't read the rules myself to make it so that these drag shows can't happen in the city, period, for those that are minors, or just on city property?
Well, it was both on city property. And the interesting thing, and this is what we brought up to not only the staff, but the mayor and all the council members, was we already have ordinances in place that prohibit young people attending this under 18.
Okay.
And they won't even follow their own our own ordinances, that especially the mayor previously was a councilman who voted for it.
Okay, so
he voted for it. The ordinance.
Yeah, well, I guess that was a different day. I don't know. A different topic. So then, tonight's meeting, which is at 6 p.m., coming up here pretty quick, is to what? You're just going for during the public comment time? Because anyone can show up during the public comment time and bring up anything. The council is just going to sit there with blank stares because they're going to say, legally, we can't comment. Is that what you're doing tonight, or is it agendized?
No, it's not agendized, okay. And because we had someone check the agenda online, and this has been the stonewalling that we have gotten ever since February, even though we presented petitions with thousands of signatures of area residents, and we showed up in force, 150 to 200 people.
That's a lot to show up at a council meeting. I mean, it's, what's Cottonwood, 10,000, 12,000 people?
That's
a lot. When I was on the city council in Flagstaff, 100 people showed up in a city of 75,000. That was a lot on this particular issue. What's up with your mayor? I had some serious, I think he came on the program well before the COVID lunacy hit the world, talking about just some general Cottonwood updates. And then COVID hit and he went kind of bizarro. I mean, at one point the council members decided not to do any kind of restrictions on COVID, and the mayor just looked at him, if memory serves me right, Mayor Alinsky, I believe his name is, and he's like, oh, well, I didn't expect the vote to happen that way, and he voted to put in through mayoral edict restrictions on COVID. But he got reelected, guys, right? Didn't he get reelected after that?
Well, that's true, but and everything you said was correct. He countermanded the vote on masking and restrictions.
That's right. Yeah.
But the reason he got back on was nobody, I think it's voter apathy, nobody ran against him. He ran unopposed.
That's a real problem in America right now. It's just apathy in general.
We are actually working on filling the electoral ballot or the electoral slate for the 2024 election, and we're going to make sure that never happens again.
Yeah, it frustrates me when you don't see when you see candidates running unopposed, especially controversial ones. And his action on COVID, I thought was quite controversial. I see that all the time in where I vote. I'm registered in Coconino County, and there's so many unopposed seats, even though it's a heavy Democrat district. But you still would like to see those choices out there. So it's good to hear that concerned citizens of Verde Valley's doing that and pushing. And quite frankly, the amount of people you guys have had showing up on this very controversial issue when it comes to transgender issues, especially with the minors and these drag shows and stuff and story time and what have you, I think is commendable, because, you know, it's one thing if you're an adult, you do as you please, but different when you're gearing these things towards minors. Is your election on 24 in November, the general election?
Yes. And if our recall is successful, will be in the spring of 24.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's potentially recall on the current mayor. Do you guys have a website or something?
No, we've never put one up, but we're just kind of trying to do this on.
Well, you're pretty grassroots, with the amount of people out there. Okay. Yeah. Let me know how it goes. Send me an email. We'll follow up on this one. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, I am checking out for the weekend. Going to have an encore presentation of this hour next hour, so if you've missed anything. And by the way, if you've missed anything throughout the week, got video and podcast up at talkwithjeff.com. Also on YouTube, look up Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S. Please subscribe. Hope you all have a great, safe weekend. I'll be back here Monday, or stick around for next hour if you've missed anything. Hang tight for that. Don't go anywhere. Otherwise, have a great weekend.